It's time for a new adventure.
Welcome to Adventures in Business, a podcast dedicated to the voices of today's entrepreneurs. Adventure is not just an action, it's an attitude. We will broaden your horizons and understandings of what it's like to be a working person today, in this moment of time on this planet we call Earth.
Welcome back to the Adventures in Business podcast. I am Amy Zander with CD Media, your co-host. And of course, I'm here with the amazing Lisa Fisher. And we are ready for a new local adventure. Very excited about today's guest. Who do you have for us today, Lisa?
We have the fabulous Christine Kuhner that works at Ellie's Place. And we are so excited to have her. I have had the opportunity of listening to her speak. I've had the opportunity to watch her in action when she's with other people. And I'm so excited to have you with us today, Christine. How are you?
I am doing well. And thank you so much for having me today.
It's my pleasure. So we always start off with you telling us who you are and what do you do?
My name is Christine Kuhner, as you just heard, and I am the director of Ellie's Place. And Ellie's Place is a nonprofit, and we are celebrating our 30 years in the Capital Region community, and we provide peer-to-peer grief support groups for grieving children and teens. As we look back and we've celebrated our 30 years here in the Capital Region, we have served over 31,000 individuals, all at no cost to the families. And that's because of the amazing community that we live in. The current statistic in Michigan is 1 in 12 children will experience the death of a parent or sibling before the age of 18. And that number doubles by the age of 25. Now, that doesn't include a grandparent or a friend or an aunt, uncle, a coach. And we know unresolved grief and children's grief needs to be addressed. So when they come to Ellie's Place, they sit with their peers to process their grief. And let's face it, Amy and Lisa, if we have a problem, whatever aspect of your life, you reach out often to a peer for support. And here at Ellie's Place, what we do is bring kids together who are grieving, who don't raise their hand or shout out, "I'm really sad, I'm grieving." Nobody likes to talk about it, but when they come through their doors, they sit together and have a chance to talk about the many emotions they're dealing with.
You know, I think about the services that you provide and how challenging it is for adults to deal with grief, like you just said. And if we're struggling that much with it, just think about the impact that it's having on the children.
They don't even, some kids don't even understand the emotion. They don't have a name to it. You know, we start at the age of 3 to 18, and each age group has a different component. But, you know, your three-year-olds, they're acting out. And they don't understand all these emotions, and it's just the grief coming out. You know, when you think about our teenagers, they're quote unquote supposed to be adults, but they're not adults yet, but they're caught in the crosshairs, you know. And when you have, let's say, a death of a parent, and it's the opposite, so a death of a dad, and you've got boys, they all of a sudden have sometimes that pressure to fill that void, and that's not their role. So there's so many different aspects to this grief through a child's eyes versus an adult's eyes. And you are right. We in the United States do not address grief. It's uncomfortable. We've come a long way in the last 5 to 7 years, but we have a long way to go.
Yeah. And it's such an amazing service that you guys provide, especially because if it is the death of a parent, the other spouse is also grieving and they aren't necessarily able to be there in the way that they normally would be as a parent for their children. And yeah, I have recommended your place to several of my friends that have gone through hardships and death in their family. And you also have done the amazing grace of allowing me in the past to use your space for different classes and things that I've taught. And you have a beautiful cafeteria-like kind of setting, which has, you know, a hookup and all that stuff. So it was really nice. I've always appreciated the use of your space.
Well, and we believe we're part of the Lansing community and we're here on MLK and Oakland. And 9 to 5, our family room is not utilized. You know, our programs run at night. So we are more than happy if an organization needs a space to allow them to use our space.
Yeah, we appreciate it. So Christine, tell us how you became involved with Ellie's Place.
That's a great question, Amy. So back in 2006, my husband, Scott, and I were approached to become members of the Healing Heart Society, a giving society to support programs. I believe I've mentioned that all of our services are provided at no cost, and that's because of this amazing community. So Scott and I took a tour of Ellie's Place and both fell in love with it for different reasons. I've had family members and watched as an adult childhood grief that's gone not addressed, and it's been very important and close to my heart to help children. And my husband was a pain medicine physician, and he would often see, sometimes clients would come in and looking for a refill in their narcotics, and long as you discuss through it, find out that they maybe not physical pain, but they've been numbing themselves for other reasons like mental and sadness and grief and many other things. So we both came at it sort of at a different angle, but we both said, of course, we're going to support Ellie's Place. So we became a financial supporter. And then we volunteered with our kiddos at Ellie's Race, which is held every July. And we became involved in the fall reception of bringing people to Ellie's Place, including the breakfast, which is at Ellie's Place big fundraiser. So then in 2013, when I decided to throw my hat back in the professional ring, I came. It was funny, I'm actually a dietitian by training, and I love nutrition, and I applied for a job in dietetics, and then my friend said they need a development director at Ellie's Place, and you talk about it all the time, Christine. I don't know why you don't apply for it, and I did, and then I ended up here. So I started here in December of 2013. On December 5th, 2014, my husband was killed by a drunk driver coming home from my son's hockey game. And, you know, I'm the person who all of a sudden, as you said, a spouse loss, you're down to a solo parent. Obviously the income changes quite a bit. You have to get health insurance right away. I mean, it's the cascade of what happens after the death of a spouse. And I can only speak from that side. I mean, with the death of anyone, there's a cascade. And then navigating this with your children. And then in April of 2015, my three kids and I started a program here at Ellie's Place. And I have three boys, and they were 11, 13, and 15. And you can imagine how excited and thrilled they were to talk about their feelings. you know, and when you're trying to be vulnerable and the devastation of, he was supposed to come home. He wasn't supposed to die. In a blink of an eye, our lives have changed. And I asked them for 6 weeks. I said, please, I haven't asked for a lot, but we need to address the grief. And I had three kids grieving three very different ways. One incredibly angry, one with all depressed, one with anxiety that I off the charts. I mean, I would get in the car to drive away and he would call me within 3 minutes. Mom, when are you going to be home? Are you okay? And another one, very stoic kind of thing. When I mentioned how the pressure on kids with grief, you know, him sort of feeling like he should fill that role in the house, which I would repeatedly say, that's not your job. I've got this. That's not your job. So we attended group for a year. My youngest came back a second time. You know, he was 11 when his dad died. And then he came back when he started high school, because the different age groups, you know, they trigger grief. And my two older children now are facilitators here at Ellie's Place. And so they work with the kiddos. My one works with the middle school and one works with, I think, the 5 to 7 year olds. That's kind of, I'm a little bit of the full circle when it comes to Ellie's Place, being a financial supporter, a volunteer employee, and someone who's walked through the program wing and utilized the peer-to-peer grief support services.
Wow, that's phenomenal. That is, you know, just thinking about the timing of everything is so impeccable. And with you joining in 2013 and then actually becoming a person that utilizes the services in 2014, and to hear how your sons have really come back to give, right? And give back to this community. It is so phenomenal. When we think about the day-to-day ups and downs and operations and pandemics and the things that you must see coming through those doors or over the phone or via Zoom, however they're taking place right now. What has you excited, Christine?
If you can help one person, just one person, you've done a great job for the day. I mean, we want to help as many grieving children and teens in our community and parents and guardians who are trying to navigate this with their children and teens. So what gets me excited, the reality is death is a part of life, and death happens every single day. And we can pretend it's not there and the grief isn't there, which we did many years ago. And what's happened because when you pretend it's not there, you compartmentalize. At some point, that sadness is going to come out. Here at Ellie's Place, there's a safe place for our kiddos to talk about the many emotions they have and to work through all the questions that they have. And I think of the one girl who had asked her group because her brother died, and she wanted to know if she was still a big sister. And she wasn't going to ask her parents because that makes them sad. She doesn't want to see her parents cry anymore. But see, what happens in group stays in group. And so she asked her peers, and her peers answer the question. My dad's always my dad. My mom's always my mom. My grandpa's always my grandpa. My teacher is still always going to be my teacher. And it came back to her. She's like, I'm still a big sister. And that's what excites me.
So I know you mentioned, or Lisa mentioned, the pandemic. How did you guys navigate through that? What were your obstacles?
Where do I begin?
Right. Sure. Loaded question.
It's, you know, I think what people experienced during the pandemic, especially when it started, was collective grief, right? The not knowing every minute. You know, you've got a glimpse of what an Ellie's Place family or a grieving family deals with. What's normal? Are we ever going to be normal again? You're isolated. You're afraid. You're not sure what's going to happen next. You know, we thought we were going to be closed for 2 weeks like everybody else did. So we quickly adjusted and sent home projects with via email that they could do family projects together. Well, as the weeks ticked on, and you know, mental health has skyrocketed the need. In June of last year, we started doing our groups via Zoom. And for the year, we did Zoom groups. And then starting this September, we now are in person 3 nights a week, and then meeting people where they're at, and one night and still virtual.
That's phenomenal. It must take a lot of volunteers to be able to pull that stuff together. And I know in the past there was quite a training program. How does one go about volunteering or getting involved in Ellie's Place?
You can always go on our website at elliesplace.org. We are so lucky. Again, as Amy and Lisa, you both know, we live in an amazing community, one of the most wonderful communities. And we at Ellie's Place receive over 30,000 volunteer hours every year. We have 300 active volunteers. We couldn't do the work that we do without our volunteers. So we run program Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And in each room, there's 3 to 4 volunteers. And they have gone through a 23-hour training to facilitate to work with the kids. Now, they're not counseling the kids. We do not counsel. The children guide the conversation. So our facilitators will just kind of guide the conversation, but the kids do all the work. So each night we have those 30 in the building to volunteer. And like I believe I mentioned, it's a 23-hour training. It's an amazing training. It's just wonderful for everyone. I think I wish everyone would go through it because it just offers a perspective of for example, if you said to a 5-year-old, I'm so sorry you lost your dad. Well, what would a 5-year-old? Well, how do I find him? Right.
Yeah. I didn't lose him. Right.
Yeah. You have to think through a child. And right. So we are very concrete words. I'm sorry your dad died. We don't say commit suicide. They died by suicide. It's a very different. No one commits to cancer. No one commits. Mm. So you change the wording a little bit and it has a different meaning. And it's very important. Especially with our kiddos. So the now, Lisa and Amy, I'm lost on what the question was.
Well, how you guys navigated the pandemic.
I think we covered it.
A follow-up question I have to the original question about how you guys navigated the pandemic was, and this might be a silly question, but have you had a lot more people come through because they've lost people to COVID?
Amy, that is an excellent question. You know what? I hear that question often. We typically have a two-page, it's a process to come into Ellie's Place. You fill out some questionnaires, then you meet with the bereavement coordinator. You know, it doesn't just happen. There's some steps to take. We typically have a two-page list of people who are going through the process. It's 4 pages right now. Now, when you ask a COVID death, if you're talking about cause of death, COVID, not anything to write home about, but, you know, statistically a number, but every death starting at the closing in March, in my opinion, to COVID related, because often you weren't with the person when they died, perhaps. You were not allowed to or able to have a celebration of life, a funeral. The whole grief process was shut down as well. And many people waited 6, 9, 12 months before they even had the celebration of life. And we get this question a lot. And I answer every death after that has a COVID component and has had made the grief process additional layers with the grief process.
Are you a small business or a nonprofit that wants to market better? Of course you want to market better. Join heavy-hitting marketing agencies and experts at the Michigan Marketing Outstanding Brand Summit. All the big bosses will be there. 17 presentations on cutting-edge topics like brand dominance, how to make a logo that doesn't suck, figuring out what the heck SEO is, launching your own damn podcast, upcoming annoying changes for social media, creating videos that slay, and so much more. Win big prizes and take advantage of exclusive marketing training. Join the ranks of marketing bosses throughout Michigan and meet me, Amy Zander, the reigning marketing mobstress of Michigan. Mark Friday, May 6th, 2022 on your calendar. It's not too far away to start planning now. Follow Zedia Media on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for a chance to win tickets. Visit zediamedia.com for more information and to purchase tickets. That's ZEEDIAMEDIA.com. Your presence will be honored. Your absence will be noted.
What do you think we can do in the United States to improve our relationship with death or our process of grieving and death?
What we could do is not be afraid to talk about it, not be afraid to, you know, it's interesting. Many people will be afraid to say a person's name. For example, I'll use myself. They'll be afraid to say my husband's name or share a story because they don't want to make me sad or they don't want to make my kids sad. But the reality is every single day we miss him. And even if you don't say his name, we can see it in your eyes. I think it's so important that people are open and talk about their person. And sometimes that makes people very uncomfortable, but death truly is a part of life. We as Americans like to fix everything. We are fixers. Here's the deal. There's nothing that anyone could say to me that made it easier for me. It's okay to say, I'm going to just sit with you. And I think that's what people are afraid of. They want to fix it. They want to say the magic words and they want to do something. Nothing you can do, but you can sit with the person.
Yeah, I was in my early 20s and I lost a really close coworker of mine unexpectedly. And I called my great aunt because she lost her son-in-law unexpectedly. And I was a few years prior and I was just like, what do I do? What do I say? Do I call his wife? What do I do? And she was like, call his wife and tell her a funny story about him. And tell her how much you liked him. And I've always remembered that. And I've always carried that through my life to maybe not always a funny story, but at least say their name, talk about them, acknowledge them, you know, that kind of thing. That was such good advice that I got from my great aunt. That's really helped me because it's a tough thing to talk about. And it doesn't always have to be.
But our society, it is.
Yeah. I also saw this great podcast. It was a TED Talk. It was a guy who from Ireland, and he was talking about the differences between Ireland and the United States and talking about death. And he said, most people in America don't actually ever encounter a dead body. And he was like, in Ireland, they hold them and they dress them and they, you know, they have them in their homes and all these things. And he's like, it's not so scary when you have that person after they've passed on, that you touch them and you're with them and that kind of thing. And he was talking about how he felt that helped people process death better. I thought that was really interesting. And I'm like, that's true. We don't ever, you know, that's not how we do things here.
Right. It's not how we do things. And your great aunt was spot on. Share a story. Don't forget the person 6 months, 9 months, a year. Say their name, but check on if someone's grieving. Everybody comes to them right away, which is lovely and beautiful. But it's 6 months, 9 months, 2 years, 3 years. Just check in on them. Or if you see something and it reminds you of that person, shoot the message or make the phone call. I just thought about your person today.
And
I'm telling you, it is the absolute greatest gift. When people share stories to me or my kids, it just makes our hearts so happy.
Yeah. And it's the opposite of what people are thinking. Like you mentioned earlier, they're thinking it's going to bring up the grief. The grief's already there. So
you see every minute of every second of every day.
Right. Absolutely.
I wanted to just back up for just a minute because you had said that the volunteers do not counsel the children. You have grief counselors, right, on site at Ellie's Place, or you used to? What happened there?
We have bereavement coordinators. So if you call in and let's say the bereavement coordinators will talk to people on the phone, but actual counseling one-on-one, we do not have that. But if you called in and just needed resources, they will sit and guide you and help you find what you need.
Awesome.
And provide you with, you know, we get often the first call is, how do I tell my kids their mom just died? And they don't, people don't, and sure, when you're in shock, or even if you're not, and you were planning on, how do you utter these words? That's a question that bereavement coordinators get often.
Wow. Thank you for clearing that up. Amy, what were you going to ask?
Oh, yeah. Before we started recording earlier, we were talking about just different things we were going to talk about. And we mentioned that this time of year is often really hard for people as far as the holidays and grief and that kind of stuff goes. Do you have any advice or anything that you want to tell our listeners about that or what Ellie's Place does for people in this time of year?
This is a really hard time. And it's not just people for grieving. It's if people are depressed. And I think we need to be gentle with everyone. You know, if it's a grieving person, you know, here's Thanksgiving in a few days. We will see an empty chair and it punches you in the gut that your person isn't there. You know, you need to decide our tradition is going to be different. My husband every year picked a new turkey recipe and he cooked the turkey. And so now I do that. And, you know, I keep thinking, am I doing the one you want? It's just hard. And then it becomes very, the festive music, the lights, everyone, you know, joy. And for a grieving person, it's a difficult time. So just be gentle. And I feel very important if you are dealing with that is to set your boundaries. And it's okay to say no. And if you can't be at every event and you're not ready, it's okay to say no. And realize if you're reaching out to someone and they're passing, that's something here at Ellie's Place. It's okay to pass. So whenever you're in group, you can always pass. But during the holidays, people want to be asked, but they can't do it all. They're tired and they're sad.
I was just thinking about, you had mentioned the breakfast. Ellie's Place does the breakfast. And we know Zoom land made things a little different. You did the 5K runs. Do you have any upcoming opportunities for people to participate or donate or?
Well, towards the end of the year, I mean, we are completely funded by our community. Our 2020 budget showed us at 16.5% administration costs. We are very mindful of the dollars that are given to us. We know, I believe I told you the current statistic is 1 in 12 children will experience the death of a parent or sibling. The need is here. So there's always, you know, and I talk about often there's time, treasure, and talent. And that's how Ellie's Place functions. Whether you donate your time, you know, we have people, whether they're working with their kiddos, maybe they'll help us with office, different things we need in the office, or are maintaining our outdoor space. Obviously, financial support is always needed. We have not had our largest fundraiser for 2 years now. That's significant when you're used to raising a third to close to a quarter of your budget, a third almost to a half, in one day and you don't raise that for 2 years, it's difficult. And we plan on having our breakfast next year in April. We'll have our race in July. Fingers crossed, you're going to adjust as we need to. And then we have a fall reception in October.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the breakfast and how that works so people can put it on their calendar and look forward to it.
April 19th, and we operate from 8 to 9. We are very careful with people's time. And Lisa has been into breakfast. She knows. Matter of fact, we like to be done about 5 minutes early. Our room, we would typically have over 500 people in the room. We may limit it a little bit less this year. We're just, it's a lot, it's a ways away. So we're going to be mindful of what's going on. The breakfast, we have two families who speak and they share their experience with Ellie's Place. We have someone from our school-based program speak. And then there's an ask. I mean, you know, when you come to the breakfast, there is an ask for financial support, but it's completely underwritten. So whatever dollars are raised, go to the directly to programming. But you don't, you know, maybe your gift, if it's not financial, is you're going to volunteer. Or maybe you can't do either of that, but everyone is leaving with the knowledge of what Ellie's Place does and who they support. And you're statistically, you're going to know somebody who's going to need our services. And it often takes about five times before a person will actually call Ellie's Place. It's a big process. Mentally, just to acknowledge this. And you might be the first person or the third or the fifth, and you're going to help get the family to take the steps to get the support for their family.
You mentioned a school-based program. What is that?
So we know that we're not reaching, that not everyone's coming to our building. So in 2006, we started our school-based, and we call it Ellie's Group. It's an 8-week program where a bereavement coordinator or a clinician goes to the school. And we collaborate with a counselor and run a peer-to-peer support group in their school. We're running, I think, 13 or 14 school groups right now. We run a fall, a winter, and a spring.
Okay, that was my question, because I was wondering if you go regularly or if there was a death of somebody in the school and you go like on an as-needed basis.
On occasion, we'll go in if there's been something, a significant death, and the school is really struggling. During COVID, our bereavement coordinators had some time and they worked on the 65-page manual. And it's a school-based manual that's being printed right now by Delta Dental. And it's going to provide all the schools that if let's say they had something that day and they couldn't get through or you know, we were playing phone tag, they're going to have resources. They're going to have policies, procedures, the words to use at their fingertips.
Oh, that's so amazing.
All at no cost. And that, I can't say it enough, is because of our amazing community.
Right. All right. So you've got the breakfast in April, the race in July, and then you said in the fall you have a dinner?
A fall reception. It's a strolling cocktail. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that also, that's a fundraiser as well?
It is. Those are our three fundraisers.
Okay. So you weren't able to have any of those this year?
We had a race virtual. Okay. And then we did a fall reception in person here this year.
Nice. Okay.
And we had someone I was at a fundraising event, Hats Off in the Garden, back this spring. And I introduced myself to one of the chairs and she said, oh my gosh, I used Ellie's Place in 2001 when my husband died. And so she came back and spoke about the long-term, you know, the benefits of the services, and we're talking 20 years later.
This part of the podcast, we usually ask some little bit more probing questions. So one of the things I always like to ask is, are you reading or listening or watching anything currently that's inspirational or that you would like to share with our listeners that you think they could benefit from?
Well, I am reading the Athena book right now, which is amazing. We just finished what we've done, Live Authentically, and then a chapter on, I'm blanking on the title, it's Control. I think Lisa could help me out with the actual title.
Learning Consistently.
Yes. So that is what I'm reading. And as for a podcast, I like to listen to Freakonomics.
That's a good one.
Financial Times, they do a 10-minute almost glimpse of what's going on in the world. I listen to Terrible, Thanks for Asking. I have a few grief or gratitude, couple gratitude podcasts that I will pop on to.
Excellent. Those are great for, and for our listeners, as always, you know, we'll put the links to everything that Christine is recommending in our show notes, as well as a link to Ellie's Place, especially for all of you who interests are piqued. And I know that you want to find out more and possibly donate or volunteer. So those links will be in the show notes as well.
Christine, we're going to go two routes. First, I'm going to ask, what's the worst piece of advice that you have ever been given when you became involved in Ellie's Place?
That's a great question. And you know what? Truthfully, I can't answer that. And I'll tell you why. I am a person that focuses on the good in the world. And so if there's something that I'm not going to, I don't remember things that bad advice. I don't.
Sorry. Excellent. That's a good answer.
I'm sure there was something, but there's only so much up here. And right. I choose to get rid of, it doesn't work for me.
Every environment that I have had the pleasure of being in with you, whether it's virtually or in person, I can say you live what you just said, because I see it in you. I see that gratitude in that glass is more than half full all the time. And with that said, you've said so many profound things. What's the best piece of advice you would like to give our listeners today?
There are 86,400 seconds in a day, and it's up to you and how you're going to use them.
That's good advice. Yeah. I like what you said earlier too, is if you can just make a difference to one person, you've done a good job.
And when it comes to grief, and it's, if you hear me speak, you will hear me say this: grief is the price of love. And that's beautiful. And when you are grieving and you're hurting so much, it's because you love so much. And that is gift. As hard as it is, grief is the price of love. And I think to myself personally, how lucky am I that I have loved so much that I've hurt so much?
That's a beautiful way of looking at that.
Is there anything that we haven't asked you that you would like listeners to know?
I just think, like, as we've talked a little bit, and we're talking about the Lansing community, what I find most just incredible about this community is we support the vulnerable. And when you support the vulnerable in your community, you are a stronger community. And I have the privilege of talking to so many people, and everyone's willing to put up their sleeves and help. And it's something to celebrate. The Capital Region community, in my mind, is the greatest place to live.
Here, here. We think so too. That's why we talk about it all the time.
I really do. It's you ask and people are, it's not, well, I don't know. It's what can I do? How can I help? And I think, you know, it's the mentality of roll up your sleeves. Let's do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Who do you think we should talk to next in the community?
Have you talked to Vicki Hamilton Allen with Habitat for Humanity?
No, but that's a great suggestion. I see Lisa furiously taking notes.
You know, and it's interesting, and her and I have talked about this, because what she sees a lot of people that need houses are widows.
Right.
But let's face it, having a place to live, a roof over your head, is we take it for granted, and yet the work that they do is incredible over there.
Excellent. We will reach out to them. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
We have truly enjoyed speaking with you today, and I am looking forward to, again, seeing you over and over in the community, and you light up a room when you walk in it. And with everything that you see and go through on a daily basis and have personally experienced, you have so much to give and to offer to others, and I am extremely grateful.
Well, thank you. You're awful kind. I truly believe that the best way that I can honor, and I believed in Ellie's Place long before my husband was killed, but the best way to honor is to make it easier for somebody else. And if I have the opportunity, as Amy, I mentioned earlier, and Lisa, you can help one person make the difference in one person's life. What a gift that is. And if I get more than one, how lucky am I? And I'm just going to keep trying to make our community a better place and share that this isn't easy, but we're here for you.
Ellie's Place and the Lansing community and all the people that come through Ellie's Place are very lucky to have you, Christine. And we are very lucky to have had you on our podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. That was great. Thank you.
Well, to all our listeners out there, have a great Thanksgiving and reach out to Ellie's Place. Find out more information about it and see how you can help. Thanks and have a great day.
Grab your passport and join Lisa and Amy as they interview a huge variety of today's professionals. You can discover Adventures in Business at ZediaMedia.com or find it at your favorite podcast source. If you'd like to be a guest at our show, we dare you to go to ZediaMedia.com. That's ZeediaMedia.com and sign up.